Welcome to Prima's 2023 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Amy Hartsfield will discuss psychological safety to mitigate risk. Amy is a risk management analyst for the City of Eugene, Oregon. We will also be joined by Prima's Education Coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Very welcome. So what is psychological safety?
Psychological safety, as defined by Harvard professor and researcher Amy Edmondson, is a shared belief held by members of a team that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. So risk-taking, in this definition, might make someone question how it relates to risk mitigation, but the heart of it is individuals feeling like they can be their authentic selves in their teams, sharing mistakes, ideas, giving feedback, without fear of humiliation or punishment.
How does psychological safety relate to the goals of ERM?
So enterprise risk management is all about getting people to take ownership of their risk, recognizing themselves as a risk manager and the most knowledgeable person of the risks they face in their own workplaces. If we want people to actually do this, they have to believe that their thoughts, opinions, and ideas not only matter, but are desired. They need to believe that, at least on their team, they can share their mistakes without fear of humiliation, so the mistakes can be corrected sooner than later. In enterprise risk management, we know that identifying risks early is a huge part of mitigation. But if you imagine a work environment where someone believes if they talk about a mistake or they give feedback that they believe could solve a problem, they believe that they would be written up for that mistake or at best ignored when they give feedback, it takes a lot of courage to speak up and do it anyway in that environment, and many people just won't do it. Amy Edmondson's team actually did a case study in a hospital where they interviewed members of two different medical teams. They were looking to gauge how many mistakes teams make when they experience or don't experience psychological safety. And what they initially discovered was that the team experiencing psychological safety made more mistakes. And this was a distressing discovery for their theory at that time. But upon looking into it further, what they discovered was that the team experiencing psychological safety reported more mistakes. The other team didn't make less mistakes. They were just too afraid to air them. And that left the team open to far more liability than the team that was able to take quick corrective action. So psychological safety is actually foundational to creating an environment for true risk mitigation.
What can those in ERM positions do to increase psychological safety in their workplaces?
So the first thing I would say to anybody who asks that question is to begin cultivating it in their own teams first. You can make note of the changes that come with it, and this helps you get buy-in from others as you try to move it into the organization. And so to cultivate it in your team, you first need to communicate clearly with your team what it is and that it's an expected priority for everyone to work towards. Facilitating everyone speaking up is a part of it, too. If there are members of your team that don't tend to speak up, make sure they have opportunity and know that you actually want to hear their thoughts and ideas. And then establishing norms for how failure is handled. People are afraid to take failures, but failure happens to all of us. It's just a human thing. And so having norms on how failure is handled takes some of the fear out of it. And creating space for new ideas, embracing productive conflict, which doesn't sound great, but the truth is people aren't going to agree. So how do we disagree in a way that's still respectful with each other? And making sure everyone is aware of the roles of everyone in their team, that kind of clarity is really helpful for people not having their toes stepped on because somebody else did their job or something like that. And then leading your team and creating a team agreement on behaviors that are or aren't acceptable on the team and how you'll deal with moments when those identified unacceptable behaviors will come up. So, for example, an agreement item could be actively listen to whoever is talking, don't interrupt or speak over them. And then after you've got these things in place, every leader needs to lead by example in doing their part to create a space that demonstrates to their team that they care about what they have to say. And after that's been cultivated or at least started being cultivated in your team, you need to get buy-in from leadership and supervisors to help them understand what psychological safety is, how it impacts the organization, and what is needed to get there. You can develop trainings or partner with trainers in your organization to offer psychological safety trainings for all employees, because awareness of psychological safety is a huge first step for anybody.
What are the consequences of employees experiencing or not experiencing psychological safety in their teams?
Yeah, so generally the consequences are hidden mistakes, which opens us up to more liability, less innovation, because people don't tend to think outside the box if they don't think their ideas are valued, higher employee turnover, and lower productivity. And this is all backed by research. Lance Hoffman, who's the director of workplace health and safety for Amazon, found that a negative employee experience resulted in 37% higher absenteeism, 60% increase in human errors, and up to 65% lower company performance, whereas a positive employee experience resulted in a 41% decrease in absenteeism, 24% less turnover, and a 17% increase in productivity. And these are data points that matter greatly to every organization and every leader. It's kind of crazy to think of how big of an impact psychological safety can have on all of it.
What is the biggest challenge for ERM implementing a psychological safety initiative in the organization?
So buy-in from leadership and supervisors is, you know, depending on every organization, can be the biggest challenge. The truth is, it is substantially on the shoulders of individual supervisors to cultivate a team environment where individuals can experience psychological safety. A decentralized enterprise risk management team can roll out a psychological safety program with very little impact if the supervisors are not bought into the idea. So it's incredibly important to get everyone on the same page about what psychological safety is, why it matters, and how we get there. And we also need to try to communicate to people that it really doesn't matter if you know what it is or not, if you buy into it or not, you're contributing to other people's sense of psychological safety regardless. So getting leaders to understand that this isn't a new thing, it's not a new phenomenon, it's just being defined in a way that we can understand and address, like in ways we haven't before. So I would say leadership understanding and buy-in is the biggest challenge. You won't talk to a single employee who will say they think psychological safety is a bad thing when they understand what it is. Everyone wants to be heard and valued for their contributions. Everyone wants to feel confident that if they share a mistake or feedback, that they won't be belittled or punished. It's just human to want to work in that kind of environment. It's not as intuitive for leaders to always put two and two together to understand that this kind of environment leads to greater safety, innovation, increased retention, and decreased employee relations issues. Every leader would say those things are worthwhile to invest in. This is a foundational way to get there. So helping them connect those dots to see that the effort to put into cultivating psychologically safe teams will result in a massive shift in the entire organization. And I would really recommend for anyone who wants to read more about how to do this, there's a book called Radical Candor by Kim Scott. And she talks really about how you need to care personally and challenge directly to have a kind of radical candor that promotes growth and safety in working relationships. It's a fantastic book for somebody who wants to get a few more tools in their hands about how to lead in this way. And then finally, last thing I want to say is people sometimes confuse psychological safety with always agreeing with others, but that goes against the authenticity piece of psychological safety. You don't have to agree with everything others say. What it does mean is that you're honest in a way that cares for others, because how you say something matters a lot. There's a lot of nuances in this, but ultimately, I think if you care about your people believe it, they can actually invest more of themselves into their work because we're removing the weight, the psychological barrier of having a lack of psychological safety in their environment puts on them.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.